It is nice to see you here tonight. I want to read with you in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. We look to God to bless the reading of his word. I just want to look at three aspects of this man called Jabez. I want to look at him in this way. First of all, he's a man with a record. Then secondly, he's a man with a request. And finally, he's a man with a richness. A man with a record. You know, it's commendable that we can look into the scriptures and read concerning this dear man Jabez. There's so little that's said about him. Two verses. And yet, in a way, there's so much that's said about him. But it's nice and commendable that we can read these words. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now we have to notice it doesn't say that his brethren weren't honorable. It doesn't say that. But it tells us that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. You know, when we read through our Bible, and the Apostle Paul had occasion and times to mention individuals, and just to think that down through the ages since these scriptures have been written, believers like you and I that are here tonight, all down through the ages have taken this book in their hand and been able to read of certain individuals and what it has to say about them. Now I'm thinking of some that are mentioned, for instance, in Paul's last writing, the second book of Timothy, before he went out to his execution. In that last chapter, 2 Timothy 4, he starts to mention particular individuals who have crossed his path. And he has some things to say about those individuals. And it is interesting to notice what is said. For instance, there's a man called Demas. And the last words that Paul has to write concerning Demas, sad words. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Isn't it unfortunate that the last things that Paul could say about a man like Demas was that he hath forsaken me. Forsaken me. And all these years, people have been reading the last comments about Demas. He's forsaken me. He also mentions in that chapter a man called Alexander. What does he have to say about him? Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. What sad words to be left for all to read concerning Alexander. It's very possible that Alexander was one of his accusers when he appeared before Nero. But it's not all discouraging. You know, there was a young man, and I suppose at one time, if we had known him, we would have said that that man's in a backslidden condition. And yet the last words that are written about this particular man, a young man called Mark, Paul says concerning this young man, once backslidden, bring Mark. Bring him to me. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Thank God these last words that we read about Mark are commendable words. You know, there are many that have started off and had a good beginning, poor ending. I think someone mentioned that in the Bible reading at the conference. And sometimes it's not just how we start, it's how we finish. And here's the Apostle Paul, soon going out to face the executioner. And his last words, why he refers to his past, the present, the future. And it's as if he's putting young Timothy on trial. Ever put yourself on trial as a Christian? See if you could bring a conviction against yourself? It's almost as if that's what Paul is doing. He's saying, you know, Timothy, I'm going out before Nero. And he'll sit up there on the throne. And I'll sit under him. And the accusers will face me. And one by one, the accusations will come. Now, Timothy is a Christian. Here's an accusation. How do you answer it? The fight. Paul could say, I have fought. The race. He says, I finished. The faith. He says, I kept it. Now, how about you? How about me? How are we going to finish? So it's nice that he's able to say about Mark, bring him to me. He's a profitable man to have around you. There's a man that he mentions in Colossians, a man called Tychicus. When Paul's writing concerning this man, he says of him, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant. What a commendation for Tychicus. A beloved brother, or a brother beloved. Likely Paul had in his mind a spiritual relationship. He's a man and you like to be in his presence. He's the kind of man, if you meet him out on the sidewalk, Tychicus. He's the kind of a man that's got something for you. He'll warm your soul. He'll send you away rejoicing. He's the kind of a man you just love to meet.
I think someone mentioned at the conference, you know, we're living in a day, you ask people how they are and afterwards you're sorry you asked them. You meet those kind everywhere. We have a dear soul in our assembly at home. I have quit asking her how she is because I really don't have time to stand and listen. It's nice to meet someone that wants to talk about the Lord Jesus. Someone in spite of your physical condition, forget about your headaches and all the rest of it. There's something warm about them. And they give you something. They send you away feeling better. That's what Tychicus was like. Paul says he's a beloved brother. Then he's a faithful minister. This would speak of spiritual service. Faithful. Being a faithful minister, it would reveal his attitude Christward. He's a minister, and he's faithful in his ministry. Brethren, are we always faithful in our ministry? You know, there's times when we can give ministry that would tickle the ears of the saints. Are we faithful in our ministry? When it comes to the preaching of the gospel, sure, we like to present the love of God. That's what broke my heart the night I got saved. It wasn't a thought of going to hell. I knew I was going there. But it was the love of God that melted me. But then we must balance it and tell sinners that they're bound for hell. Well, we need to be like that in our ministry. We need to be faithful. We were speaking of Jonah here on Saturday night. Dear Jonah, he gets a message from God. You go to Nineveh. Here's what you're going to preach. But Jonah, he goes down to the ship. And off he goes, and you know what happened. You know, in chapter 2, it tells us the word of the Lord came the second time. The second time. Same message. Jonah, Nineveh. You know, I firmly believe in our Christian pathway that the Lord only shows us one step at a time. If you and I are not willing to take that step, you'll be looking for the third one. You're not going to get it. You must have passed the second one. You know, it's amazing how some want to run before they learn to walk. They want to do things that God has no intention of having them do. They want to do the big things when He would have them do the little things. But Jonah found what he was asked to do distasteful to him. He had his mind made up he wasn't doing it. And it even says a couple of times in that passage that he sought to flee from the presence of the Lord. He can't do that, and you can't do it, neither can I. Can't flee from the presence of the Lord. So he gets the same message. You and I need to be faithful ministers of Christ. That's what Tychicus was like. Not only was he a faithful minister, but Paul calls him a fellow servant. Whose spiritual fellowship? Fellow servant. That's like Paul and Apollos. Paul could say, I have planted, Apollos watered, but we're both looking to God to give the increase. In other words, we're in this thing together. We're in fellowship together in it. I think that's a lesson that a lot of our young Christians are missing today. I moved to the city of St. Thomas in 1973 from London. I moved into a new subdivision and there was a lot of children around. I was actually excited about having a children's meeting in my home. But I first went to the elders. I sat down with them. I made my exercise known. You see, I wanted to be in fellowship with my brethren. And I wanted them to be in fellowship with me. It's something like being received into the assembly of God. It's a two-way street. I'm not a free-for-all. I can't do as I please. I must work in harmony and in fellowship with my brethren. Young Christians here tonight, the things that you do, the activities that you're involved in, are your brethren in fellowship with them? If you don't know, it's time you ask them. You might find that the less problems are on. I may have mentioned my own son that just came into the assembly this year. When he was away from the Lord, he thought nothing about going to the ball games and the hockey games and this kind of a thing. And it was surprising how many Christians from the assemblies that he saw there. But thank God he got restored. But you know, there was still something in him. I think it was a month or 2 months ago, he came in one day with two tickets to go to the ball game. Time to see the Blue Jays. And he was going to phone up his girlfriend, who's also in an assembly, and meet her and go, I said, just a minute, Paul. Things are different now. You're in the assembly.
But Dad, I see all kinds of people from the assemblies at the ball games.
I said, just a minute. You're in fellowship in Collingwood Assembly 24 hours of the day. I said, what I would like you to do is phone a couple of your elders and ask them how they feel about you going to the ball game. See how they feel. You know what he did? He didn't go to the phone. The tickets went in the garbage. He didn't have to phone them to find out how they felt. But I was glad that he at least had an attitude of submission to how they would feel. And I would stress it here tonight, whatever activity you are involved in, if you have any question, you talk to your elders. They have been given the responsibility by the God of heaven to tend, to feed, and to care for the flock. You're part of that flock. That's their responsibility. So Tychicus had a great commendation from the Apostle Paul. Jabez, a man with a record more honorable than his brethren. Now, if your record was to be written tonight, if my record was to be written tonight, I wonder what people would be reading. What kind of a commendation have I got? Are there things that are commendable about my life? The way I live? My deportment? How I conduct myself? Are they commendable? Or what would the people of God be reading about me if it was written tonight? You know, when I think of this record of you and I that could be written, I think of the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear. It's coming. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. The record's being written on high. Someday we're going to face it. Oh, we could only look into it tonight and take a look back. I think we'd be amazed at how little time we spend in this book and on our knees. I took time during the conference to talk to some young Christians, at least they take the place of being young Christians. I asked them two questions. Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? There was one basic answer. I was shocked. No. Don't read their Bibles. Don't spend time in prayer. How can you get to know your God? How can you do it? I'm afraid, whether it's Vancouver or the area that I live in, the greatest weakness among us, we're not spending time alone with God. It's not being done. If we're not doing that, brethren and sisters, we're going to have all kinds of problems. This book will keep us from sin and will keep you from a lot of other things as well. But you must spend time with God. So he's a man with a record. And secondly, he's a man with a request. He knew his God. He called on the God of Israel. You might say that he was bold with his request. I think we've a lot to learn from the request of Jabez. Are we specific when we pray, when we speak to God, or do we generalize? You know, I could speak of the assembly prayer meeting and just in a little bit of experience I've had in the places I've been. I marvel at assembly prayer meetings that the thing that isn't prayed for is the assembly. The very reason we come together, it should be first and foremost in our minds is to pray for this assembly. And yet so often we never hear it mentioned. We can go around the world in our prayer and not pray for the assembly. For the elders in the assembly, they need our prayers. Not our criticism, our prayers. For the young Christians, they need our prayers. We all need to pray for each other. But we're so good at generalizing. I'm going to generalize. First of all, he says, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Bless me indeed." You know, when I think of this, I would call this grace. He asked for a blessing. You know, that would take us back to the time when God saved us and we experienced the grace of God. Similar to Isaiah in chapter 6, the glory of an earthly king was fading out of view, he could say, and the year that King Uzziah died, he would never forget that year. He pinpointed it, just like Paul could pinpoint his conversion. Isaiah could pinpoint this moment, going back in memory. Oh yes, I know the year it happened, the same year that King Uzziah died. What happened? I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the glory of the one who never fades. Glory of an earthly king had faded away, gone out of view. It is the glory of the one that's on this throne. And when he saw the Lord in all its glory, and the seraphims flying and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory." What happened? He says, "Woe is me." Because of the glory he'd seen, he felt his guilt. "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." But thank God for the grace that he experienced. The live coals that were taken from off the altar, placed upon his lips. He was purged. Yes, we thank God for the blessing of salvation and for the grace of God shown toward us. So Jabez could say, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." Then he could add, "and enlarge my coast." So he has gone now from grace to growth. Spiritual enlargement. Can't remain a baby. I think we'd all be concerned, those of us who have children, if they had remained babies and didn't grow. Well, I think the Lord would expect the same of you and I from the moment of conversion, that we continue to grow. You know, it seems there's many around us today and they just don't grow. Mr. Steers and I had Bible readings for 2 weeks at a place, and Bible readings were on the local assembly. And one night the subject was gifts, spiritual gifts. There was a dear man came to us after the meeting. I think he was about 75. He's home in heaven now. And he told us after the meeting how long he'd been saved. A long time. He said, "You know, I don't know what spiritual gift I have." How sad. To live all that time and not know what gift the Spirit of God had given him. We're expected to grow. Spiritual growth in our lives. But how's it going to take place? Back to the book. You can't get away from it. We have to spend time in this book. Someone came to me at the conference after I'd spoken and they were asking, "Oh, well, what did you do as a young believer? What did you do?" I'll tell you what I did. It was two elders, two godly men, every Friday night in the hall that had us around tables with our Bibles and our notebooks. All winter, they had us studying the Word of God. Elders, leaders, shepherds, not young men. Mature men, spiritual men, that sought to teach us the Word of God. We benefited from it. And when the winter season was over, then we started our open air work. We used to do 3 villages every Friday night. Off we'd go with the same brethren, preaching the gospel in the open air, visiting in the hospitals. Plus we had 2 assembly meetings to attend. We had no time for these other things. But I'm glad for men that took an interest in us. Matter of fact, we feared those men. One of those dear men, after a meeting one night, he told me he was going to take me out for supper the next night, and that was unheard of. And I thought, what have I done? I was terrified. You shouldn't be terrified of the elders, you know. But I was. He picked me up in the car and off we went and out for supper, and I didn't enjoy that supper at all. It wasn't because we had fish. I didn't enjoy it. I kept thinking to myself, well, come on, get it out. What have I done? But he was so relaxed. He just chatted with me. And we went down to a little place called Bangor, was where he'd taken me, and there's a big strand there with the water on the other side, and we walked for miles. And inwardly, I'm still going, would you hurry up and get it out? He didn't. Just relax. And back home again. We're at my front door. Well, that's good. There was nothing to it. But I still wonder why he took me out. I said, David, you're likely wondering why I took you out. Yeah, I was. Here it's coming. I was only about 16 or 17. He said, I'm just wondering, what are you going to do with your life? I wasn't wondering what I was going to work at. We finished school when we were 15, I was already out working. What are you going to do with your life? I knew what he meant. I thank God for that man. That man took an interest in an individual. That's what Paul did. That's why he was able to name so many individuals. Brethren, you'll have to take an interest in young believers. You feed those sheep and you feed those lambs. And when you see a little gift in a young believer, you encourage it. You help them to stir up that gift that's within them, young brethren and young sisters. You have the responsibility to steer them in the right direction. Don't leave it to others. So we need to grow, spiritual growth. Then Jabez could say, and that thy hand might be with me. Now he's looking for guidance. He wants to know that the hand of God will be upon him as he moves in the fear of God. Surely we need to know day by day the guidance of God in our lives. Sometimes it's not easy to get to know. There's a question asked in a Bible reading when I was a younger believer in this country, and they were discussing the will of God. And a young believer asked, well, how can you know the will of God in your life? That's a good question. And one dear brother, he said, well, I asked a preacher one time, how did he know it was the will of God to go there for meetings, and then there for meetings, and there for meetings, and so on? How did he know? He said, well, the preacher told me that sometimes you find out after you've been there. But it wasn't the will of God. I wasn't satisfied with that answer. Try that in marriage and see what happens. It won't work. We need to know the will of God. How can I know it? Well, they taught me as a young Christian
that the will of God is always guided by the Word of God. It'll never be contrary to God's Word.
Isn't it the same? It's back to the book. Here it is. It's in here. But you'll have to take time to read it and to find out what the will of God is for you and your life.
That thy hand might be upon me, might be with me.
And then lastly he says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Now he's looking for guardianship. Keep me from evil. We all need to be kept from evil. I think Joseph has been referred to over the conference. And there's Joseph and that woman that wants to lure him into sin.
And Joseph is determined that he cannot sin against God and do this wickedness. And it says that day after day she tempted him.
Till finally she lays hold on him. You know the story. He lost his coat. You know, with that coat went his reputation. Why, she could take that coat in, it's Joseph's, and say what, you know, the lies that she told. But here's the evidence, here's his coat.
So Joseph lost his reputation. That's what you are before man.
But he saved his character. That's what he is before God. And that's what matters. I may lose my reputation. That's easy to lose. Others can see that you lose your reputation pretty quick. I think we've all experienced that. It doesn't concern me. God knows my heart. God knows what takes place in my life. That I might preserve my character. That's all that matters. And so Jabez cries that the hand of God would be upon him and that he might be preserved from evil. Evil influences, evil practices, evil persons.
He stated the purpose for his prayer,
that it may not grieve me, that it be not to my sorrow, I think the Revised puts it.
He realizes that evil works out to sorrow, and he has a desire to avoid this.
Young believer, don't put yourself in a place of temptation. Don't put yourself in circumstances where you leave yourself open to be tempted by Satan or by anything else. We're only human. Every one of us can fall. So he prays that God will preserve him.
A man with a richness.
Well, how do we know that he was a rich man in that sense? Well, these words tell us. God granted him that which he requested.
So these things that Jabez had asked for, God granted them to him.
So Jabez was a man with a richness, a man who knew the blessing of God, a man who knew that the hand of God was upon him, a man who knew spiritual enlargement, his coats were enlarged, and a man who knew preservation as he walked with God. I guess it comes back to where I started. If your record, when my record was written tonight, what would it look like? I could spend my time making money. I could spend my time doing so many things. And so little time for God. I would urge young believers that are with us tonight, young or old, you get into this book. you read this book, have a daily diet of it. I don't mean to read it around the table with the family in the morning. That's not good enough. That's a good practice, but it's not good enough. I hesitated to mention at the end of our Bible readings because I didn't want to take away from the Bible readings. We were on the better things. They were good Bible readings. But you know, at the close of it all, I thought to myself, well, you know, the Apostle Paul mentioned something. It's not better. It's far better. What is it? To be with Christ. He says it's far better. Well, we're going to be with him. The record book will be open. What's it going to look like? Did you give your time, your life, your resources, your energy for him? Only here for a short time. And all the money that you make, you're going to leave it behind you, every cent. You brought nothing in, you're going to take nothing out. But you're going to have a record to face. Oh, that when we stand in his presence, I know I can repeat the words of the hymn that was quoted at the conference. By and by, when I look in his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look in his face, I wish I'd give it a more. And God bless you.